This is The Future of Prophecy, Part 4. Wars and rumors of wars. Which is worse? Well, don't worry. The future of prophecy is good by way of intelligent design, that no man may write the destiny of mankind without the hand of God. That design, expressed throughout the Bible, is the preordained purpose to accomplish the will of God. We can look back in history and witness the veracity of the Word. That history is an accounting of the progression of the kingdom of God. If we have the ears to hear it and the eyes to see, we can prepare for the future and learn from the past. A Jewish supremacist decry and deny white supremacy as something evil, whereas Judaism has been the historical adversary to Christianity and the Christian faith, has only been advanced by the white race. Well, what's wrong with that picture? It is hypocritical and preposterous to claim the identity of God's chosen people while mocking and failing to measure up to the standards of true Israel. The power of prophecy has the supernatural wherewithal to make an entire race of people repent because it is the truth, and the truth is heard and seen. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. It changes our behavior. Jews, strangers cannot hear the word. Christ said, only his people, Israel, can hear him. My sheep hear my voice. The last 2,000 years has been one conflict after another. God knew that if he predicted the future, it would herald the calls for repentance and advance his people closer to the kingdom. But in the interim, there must be divine judgment, for God is not mocked, and correction sets the course to navigate through all adversity for each generation. The prophecies of God are inevitable because of the machinations of human beings to detour and detain them. Although many may be deceived, not all of God's elect will fall away. And for this reason, God has raised up an army of identity Christians who will stand their ground in the last days. This is the true remnant that receives divine judgment and is corrected and proceeds as a holy movement of God. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now, if many are going to be deceived, then not that many are going to be the remnant. In spite of our sins, not of racism, but of social race mixing, true Israel will be preserved. We will be judged, but we will be separated eventually from all the heathen mongrels of the earth. From Hosea 13, 9 through 11, we learn, it is your destruction, O Israel, that you are against me, against your help. Where now is your king to save you and all your cities? Where are all your rulers, those of whom you said, give me a king and princes? I granted you a king in my anger, and I will take him away in my wrath. Can anyone seriously consider any of the present crop of presidential candidates? There's a Jezebel witch, an angry socialist Jew, a bombastic billionaire, a sleepy Negro neurosurgeon, an immigrant neocon terror, an arrogant third family heir of the throne. I hope you can guess who these people are. A Kentucky Tea Party Mason, a warmongering Shabazz Goy governor, a fat dimpled kosher preacher, a fat Jersey Shore huckster, a Goldman Sachs Trojan horse, on it goes. There's nobody to vote for. But who cares? God is going to send us the spirit of an Elijah ministry before the coming of that great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now, Elijah dispatched, that's a nice word, some 400 priests of Baal. They were permanently baptized at the Brook Kishon, if you recall. The modern day equivalents should consider whom they serve. If they are a 501c3 tax-exempt church, they serve Babylon, as they were created and sanctioned by the state. The dispute to whom the kingdom was given is between race versus church. And that is clarified by understanding what the Greek word ecclesia means, translated church rather than the called out race. Elijah, he didn't do it all by himself. He inspired the people to eliminate the priestcraft. When Jesus spoke to the Pharisees in Matthew 21:43, he said, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you. He was speaking to the Edomite Herodian Jews. And given to a nation. Nation means race. Bringing forth the fruits thereof. Was Jesus implying that he was really giving it to a religious organization that engages in race mixing? The Jews never had the right of inheritance to begin with. So Christ was really restoring the rightful heirs of the vineyard, not replacing them. Today, the church is in lockstep with Antichrist Jews, and it's a death march, fulfilling prophecy. Quote, they have taken some of their daughters and wives for themselves and their sons, and have mingled the holy race with the peoples around them, and the leaders and officials have led the way in this unfaithfulness. Ezra 9:2. There was a poignant home invasion in Indianapolis a couple of weeks ago on November 10th that is relevant to today's message. It was not, unfortunately, atypical, but an ever-increasing wave of jungle warfare. Two savage niggers, nicknamed the Kill Gang, have been charged with the rape and murder of 28-year-old Amanda Blackburn, wife of Pastor Davy Blackburn of the Resonate Church. Now just Keep the picture there for a minute, Debbie, while I continue on. I want you to look at that beautiful white woman, her husband and child. She was 12 weeks pregnant, raped, and then shot in the back of the head, thus killing the baby inside her. Their one-year-old toddler was in the unlocked house at the time while the pastor was at a gym. In a statement to the press, Pastor Davey, obviously not comprehending the Bible or the evils of multicultural diversity, said, quote, "Though everything inside me wants to hate, be angry, and slip into despair, I chose the route of forgiveness, grace, and hope. Today I am deciding to love, not hate." It's really hard to sort through all the emotions of what we're feeling about all this. We're confused. We don't understand why. We're angry. We're not really sure what to do. Amanda didn't have an enemy in the world. I can't imagine any reason why. That's why this has baffled us as much as anybody. That's why we're trusting. Does he say God?
No.
He says, that's why we're trusting the investigators. They've been so good to us through the whole process, end quote. There appears to be two more suspects, which the police have not found yet. The prosecutors said there is not sufficient evidence for sexual assault charges at this time. And naturally, no hate crime charges will be forthcoming. You can count on that one. If I were a gambling man, I would bet that the Resonate Church, isn't that an odd name for a church? I went to their website. I couldn't find the reason why they called themselves that. Unless, perhaps, they resonated with Baal worship and welcomed the Mamzers into their congregation. They just don't have a clue about 2 Chronicles 19:2. That which angers the wrath of God. It is the church and gods of integration that destroys the white race. The wages of sin is death. And they wagered God would do nothing. And they lost. Everything telling him the time to hate that we read in Ecclesiastes 3, there is a time to hate, there is a time to love. And this time, everything was telling this guy, hate, because it's from the Holy Spirit. And Elijah ministry does not need permission from the state to function or to worship the God of exclusivity. Christian identity is a ministry of Elijah. The ecclesia, sometimes erroneously translated the church, are in reality the called out ones by virtue of the discriminatory nature of God Almighty. And they cannot be the multicultural corporations, the tax-exempt corporate fictions of the world. The law still holds true that a bastard, a half-breed mongrel of mixed blood, shall not enter the congregation of the Lord. And none of his descendants, even to the 10th generation, may enter the Lord's assembly. it might as well say to the millionth generation, because the divine intent is to exclude the heathen from our midst forever. Therein lies the real racial sin of the Bible. Universalism. How many churches today can you walk into and see forbidden people in their congregations? The Masoretic text, which is the Jewish rabbis, has deracinated. They've taken race out of the Bible. And they've taken it out of 2 Corinthians 6:14 to read, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers," which should read, "Do not become yoked together with untrustworthy aliens." Quite a difference, don't you think? Which is translated in the Christogenia New Testament. This is exactly what the institutional church does. They say they've nailed the law to the cross, but more likely they've nailed it next to the Skull and Bones Club. The Greek word for unbelievers is apistos, number 571 in Strong's, and means without Christian faith, specifically a heathen. The enemy calls race mixing good and racism evil. Well, we will stand with God and His Word, which says just the opposite. Race mixing is unchristian. Unfortunately, the so-called church refuses to repent or change, nor does it acknowledge God raised up the racial alien to punish the congregations of white people for their transgressions of the law. "They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee." We're going to look at some current events that are fulfilling prophecy right before our eyes. And they all revolve around our disobedience to God's racial laws. Deuteronomy 17:15 says, "Be sure to appoint over you a king the Lord your God chooses. He must be from among your fellow Israelites. Do not place a stranger over you, one who is not an Israelite." If we elect racial aliens to rule over us, it is a sin, and we will be judged. Because America elected the bastard Barack Obama, we are facing an incredible influx of non-white, non-Christians, placing our heads and hearts in the snares of heathen religions. 10 years ago, we heard nothing of Islamic beheadings and violent cruelties perpetrated against innocent people. Now it is becoming more and more commonplace. Obama is obviously more protective of Islamic invaders pouring into what was formerly white nations than honoring his oath of office to defend the country he supposedly leads. In fact, he is orchestrating the invasion and leading us into the pits of hell. When foxes outnumber the chickens in the hen house, you can guess what's on the menu for dinner. When idiots say we are a nation of immigrants, they start at 1900, not 1620. Obama doesn't have to be presidential. He just has to do what he's told by his handlers. ISIS is the Israeli Secret Intelligence Service. ISIS hasn't terrorized any Jewish targets. Republicrats wreak treachery, and both will fail their game of Marxist dialectics. I wouldn't be surprised if the GOP Jews behind the scenes tried to draft Mitt Romney at the convention, or Democrats drafting Al Gore at theirs. There's plenty of stooges to go around if Trump and Hillary don't make it to the racetrack. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. The geopolitical chess game being played in Europe with alleged Syrian refugees flooding into white countries has quickly turned into a crisis management nightmare. The mainstream media whores cannot be trusted to report what is actually happening. Hungarian Minister of Foreign Affairs Peter Szijjártó said the number of Middle East foreigners could exceed 35 million. I thought that was an inflated number until after researching some statistics, and a United Nations refugee agency stated that there were 59.5 million forcibly displaced bipeds worldwide. According to the UN, 75% of the aliens entering Europe were men, and 51% were Syrians. The startling thing about it is that the other half of dark people are coming from as far east as Bangladesh and as far west as Africa, bringing with them disease, crime, and a cultural ingratitude. It's a tidal wave of illegal immigration on steroids, which is not a spontaneous migration of non-whites looking for a better life. It is well planned and orchestrated invasion of Europe. It is aided and abetted by race traders within the respective countries, the ones at least that are playing the game. The situation was exacerbated by German Chancellor Angela Merkel, who opened the gates of their borders to one and all. And it quickly reached a saturation point beyond sustainability. The media has not told you that several countries have closed and fortified their borders with razor-sharp concertina wire, especially after the coordinated attacks on Paris raised the red flags of black flag operations. The cultural clash has begun, and Obama wants to compound the diversity in America as if the Mexican invasion on our southern border isn't enough to rip the social fabric of law and order apart. The puppet masters that pull the strings for the New World Order are attempting the world's greatest immigration scheme ever. The EU and American proposals to distribute migrants evenly across a 28-nation bloc, and likewise spreading vast numbers of dark-skinned people into the 48 continental states of the United States, is insane. The majority of which are not war refugees at all, but parasites seeking to sponge off the respective welfare systems in each host country. If Jewish communism were to mongrelize the world on a fast track to a one world hybrid humanoid, this is what they'd do. There would no longer be God's creation of kind after kind, because the genetic makeup would be so homogenized that no one could be identified under the integrity of a species. It would be the perfect slave class that had no loyalty to any people group, because there would no longer be any people groups. The world would have finally arrived at their aspired for human race. Race mixer, John Lennon. Imagine no heaven, no countries, no religion, no possessions. He's saying, imagine all the people sharing all the world. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will live as one. Yeah, he wasn't a dreamer of paradise, but rather a harbinger, a Pied Piper, a prophet of the nightmare we see happening right now. He planted this bug, or beetle, in people's ears to envision a make-believe world. Not much different than Jehovah's Witnesses, of genetic anarchy, a type of biological warfare that erases what God hath created. However, what happens so often throughout history, those who think to usurp the kingdom of God are themselves made desolate. The one thing you can count on is that God does not change. If he did, then Malachi 3:6 says Jacob Israel would be consumed or destroyed. The oneness of utopian airheads contradicts Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6, that says, for there is one body and one spirit, just as you, meaning Jacob Israel, have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father who is over all and in all and living through all, end quote. The context, of course, is all of the white race. Any other interposition betrays the word of God and categorically belongs to the gospel of John Lennon. During the heyday of the rock and roll in the 1960s, it was often called the British invasion. But I don't need to imagine the kingdom of heaven, the white nations of Israel, the way, as Christianity was called in the first century, or the confirmation of 1 Peter 2:9, reiterating Deuteronomy 7:6, saying, we, Israel, are a chosen race and possession. And the NIV goes so far as to say, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The Antichrist Jews or that darkness that will never comprehend the light. The incarnate Messiah was the epitome of shining prophecy, which the Edomite Jews killed on the cross. Our Lord discriminates between those who hate the light and those who do the truth and come to the light. The prophet Nahum assured the children of Israel about the dynamics of divine cause and effect, much in the same manner as Moses dictated the blessings and curses of Deuteronomy 28. Pay close attention to Nahum 1:8. But with an overflowing flood, he will make a complete end of its site or location, and will pursue his enemies into darkness. Now this phrase, overflowing flood, may be a metaphor to express the utter devastation which would overwhelm Nineveh, as the invasion of a hostile army is often depicted. The army of illegal aliens swarming into the U.S. and Europe are overwhelming. When a river is besieged by continual rains, the banks will often swell and then break into the law, or excuse me, will break into the lay of the land. By the same token, when millions of racial aliens inundate major cities, there will be a spillover into urban and then rural areas not equipped to handle such an increase in population. The enemies of the white race surely know this and have devised a plan to flood our once great Christian nations with strangers and their strange gods. Proof of this plan in action is the religion of tolerance, contaminating the Christian ethic of discrimination and intolerance. Those of our race who obey the God of Israel are spared from the day of trouble. We may witness it, but we will not be swept away with the currents of apostasy. We will receive strangers and refugees, as did colonial America, but they were only our own kind. But the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you. And thou shalt love him as thyself, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. The New Living Translation says, treat them like native-born Israelites. Why? Because they were Israelites coming from foreign lands. Isaiah 11:10-12 and 16 prophesied, in that day, the root of Jesse, meaning Jesus Christ, will stand as a banner for the people. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcast of Israel. And there will be a highway from Assyria for the remnant of his people who will be left, just as there was for Israel in the day that they came up out of the land of Egypt. Israel came out of their Assyrian captivity and migrated into Europe, becoming the nations of Christendom. This prophecy was fulfilled with the first advent of Christ. So the highway coming out of modern Syria today is not the pathway of God's people to recover their faith and a remnant of that. No, the migratory routes flowing out of the Levant by non-Israelites are totally another prophecy altogether, which we'll get to in a moment. Most Bible scholars in Christian identity believe that the ninth chapter of Revelation is depicting the rise of Islam. In order to understand this eruption of power, we have to understand why God, who is in control of his own history making, would bring forth not only a phenomenon of world religions, but an integral prophecy for our edification. NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden has been so demonized because he allegedly possesses documents proving the U.S., Israeli, and the U.K. conspired to create ISIS in order to preserve and expand the Jewish state. To identify conspiracy, near the end of the third century, Jews saw Christianity growing exponentially and Judaism wavering. They were desperately scheming, as always, in Rome, and Rome needed something to rescue a sinking ship. Their preservation and religious credibility rested in securing the strategic location of the holy city, Jerusalem. The great exploitation to seize the city would be through the children of Ishmael. The Jews have always gambled on pitting the major religions against each other so that they, in the end, would come out smelling like a rose. The ignorant mongrel Arabs fell for the plan, making an unholy alliance with Jews. 70 AD did not help the Jewish cause as a million plus Jews perished. And their conspiracy would get incredibly satanic to create not only a counterfeit Christianity in the Roman Catholic Church, but to destroy the work of Christ in the world. It would take time and patience, centuries, and exquisite cunning to put a new face on the mystery religions of Babylon in Rome. The statue of Jupiter was eventually called St. Peter. The statue of Venus was changed to the Virgin Mary. The chosen site for its headquarters, called Vaticanus, was the satanic place for the diving serpent where the Temple of Janus stood. So terrible was this religious invention that it earned the distinction of fulfilling the prophecy of Mystery Babylon the Great, mother of the horrors and abominations of the earth. Revelation 17:5. Her purpose was to subvert the Gospels, kill true believers in Christ, and establish other religions friendly to the church, and create wars and make the nations drunk with the wine of her fornications, that is, race mixing. Now, I'm not saying I'm not saying that the hierarchy of Catholicism has always been Jews or that Catholics are Jews, but we can easily discern that the fingerprints of Jewish influence is not a stretch of the imagination, or that members of the church have either been deeply corrupted or greatly deceived. In 533 AD, the Vatican issued a new set of laws called the Pandecte that largely ignored the divine law and relied heavily upon church law deciding what was right or wrong. Though the Western Roman Empire had fallen in 476 AD, the papacy rose out of its ashes and actually gained more power than the original emperors or Caesars. This period of time has been called the Revised Roman Empire and identified with the prophecy of the little horn in Daniel 7:25. He will defy the Most High and oppress the holy people of the Most High. He will intend to make alterations in times and in laws, and they will be placed under his control for a time, times, and half a time. Now that last part is a prophetic calculation that Revelation 13:5 states as 42 months. 42 months times 30 days is 1,260 days. In long-term prophecy, this computes to 1,260 years. Therefore, from the time of the Pandecte to the year 1,793 is 1,260 years. The year the French Revolution dealt a major blow to the Roman Catholic Church. Although Napoleon's arrest of the Pope was a setback for the RCC, Revelation 13:3 says the wound would be healed and would be joined by another beast, which many believe to be economic in nature. Indeed, money once again found its way into the Vatican, and the gates of hell prevailed with the dragons of Jewry. The rise of the little horn in 533 AD blossomed, and in 606, Pope Boniface III claimed exclusive title as universal bishop for himself. His predecessor, Gregory, had worded his strong objections to the title a few years before as, quote, a blasphemous antichrist assumption. In doing so, he identified the papacy itself as the little horn of Daniel. Now, there may be variations in the dates as to when it started and ended, but the time frame is approximate enough to fulfill prophecy. For example, within this time frame, the little horn arose with the Emperor Justinian I in 527 AD, and actually was responsible for fulfilling Daniel 7:25 by changing the calendar and the entire legal system of the empire in order to reflect church law. It ushered in an era of feudalism, creating lords and serfs. Even though our founding fathers banned titles of nobility, the Industrial Revolution brought an aristocracy of the super rich and a middle class, which dwindles day by day. And the one exception to Romish rule was English common law, which was based on Mosaic principles of law. However, England too would succumb to the pernicious Vatican, but not without a valiant fight. Christian identity has the mission to advocate for our ancient laws of God to defeat church law. We are due for a great paradigm shift. As a matter of prophecy, Christian lives matter. We are moving from the old war-torn church age to a new kingdom age of peace. But the wars and rumors of war are not yet finished. And they're treachery towards mankind. The transition will be turbulent and violent. Our ministry of Elijah will be a race war of biblical ideas, turning the hearts of our people to their heritage and destiny, subsequently destroying the Antichrist Baals that enslave us. The word Antichrist means against or in place of Christ. In other words, the vicar of Christ is the one who rules in place of Christ by declaring the authority to overrule the testimony of Christ and the apostles at will. The Judeo-Christians who teach futurism think the little horn of Revelation is an individual Antichrist with a capital A who will rule a revised Roman Empire. But as we've seen, it's already come to pass. In the Quran, Muslims regard Christ only as a prophet. And if the Pope was his substitute on earth, then he must be a prophet also. This caused the followers of Muhammad to fear and respect the vicar of Christ. The rise of Islam begins with the year that Muhammad began to teach in 612 AD and peaks with its capital moving from Damascus to the new city of Baghdad in 762 to 763. Alberto Rivera, no relation to Geraldo, a former Jesuit priest, spilled the beans on the machinations of the Vatican to manipulate the Arab world. He claimed that Muhammad was manipulated by the RCC to create Islam and destroy the Jews and true Christians considered infidels. And that his first wife, help me if I can't pronounce this right, I'm probably butchering it, Khadija, or however you pronounce it, was actually a Catholic nun in an Arabian monastery who was told by a bishop to marry him, and so the seeds of what was to become Islam. Rivera was poisoned and died in 1997, after proclaiming these revelations worldwide. The RCC was in bed with many Arab factions and issued papal bulls granting Arab generals permission to invade and conquer the nations of North Africa. The Vatican financed these massive Islamic armies in exchange for three favors. One, eliminate the infidels. Two, protect the Augustinian monks and Roman Catholics. And three, conquer Jerusalem for the Pope. Well, as time went by, Jerusalem fell into their hands, and they honored most of these favors. But when the Pope expected the keys of the city of Jerusalem, they reneged on the deal. They could not be intimidated by Rome, and they now had their own plans for the future. War was inevitable. Islam was going to conquer the world for Allah, and they set their sights on Europe. The Pope raised armies and called them crusades, which lasted for centuries. Now we can understand why God raised up Muhammad and the Islamic religion, because the RCC was given the chance to bring forth the fruits of the kingdom, but only brought death and destruction. The RCC supplanted divine law with the traditions of man. Not much different than the legalistic Pharisees. So God reciprocated by raising up the mongrel hordes of Ishmael and a legalistic religion, Islam. Both would live by the sword and die by the sword because they had no love for the inspiration of God's law and His Holy Spirit to administer justice and mercy. In Genesis 16, 11 and 12, the angel told the bondwoman Hagar that her son was to be called Ishmael and that he would be, quote, a wild ass of a man. His hand will be against everyone and everyone's hand would be against him. They would live by the sword. Years later, Jeremiah 2:24 tells us that Jerusalem would assume the spiritual character of a wild ass. Paul likewise compares this city of bondage and condemnation to Hagar in Galatians 4:25. The called out of New Covenant Christians are under the free woman, Sarah. For he who was called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freeman. Likewise, he who was called while free is Christ's slave. 1 Corinthians 7:22. As the institutional church began to eclipse the called out ones, they began to put Christians into the bondage of their hierarchy and thus becoming slaves to the church. The truth shall make you free. Denominationalism did not exist to set men free, but to put them into the bondage of church law. The church became Judaized and a wild ass by nature, just as much as Islam and the RCC. God was holding up a mirror to reflect the image of a state religion and judging them by the same standards they employed. Got more Gulf War? They keep rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. But the white race can either walk on the water with Christ or sink into the deep abyss of darkness. We cannot win a godless war. Do you know how many Americans have died in the Gulf Wars? For years, they keep telling us it's only 3,000 or 4,000. As of the year 2007, the VA reports that more soldiers have died there than in Vietnam. The 8-year-old statistic in 2007 was 73,846 deaths. The bastards are only counting those deaths before they can get them to a chopper or an ambulance, and thus keeping the stats artificially low. Of course, the source page at the VA website has gone down the memory hole, and now it's just a conspiracy theory from conspiracy nuts like us. However, we have a convenient equalizer called screenshots, or even, God forbid, illegal protocol apps to retrieve anything by hacking through their cyber concertina wire. I don't know who to thank, but computer nerds are replacing AK-47s and fertilizer bombs with good old-fashioned intelligence. But I think I should thank God. Back to the 9th chapter of Revelation. A prophecy of Islam that fits our situation perfectly today. The high and mighty church did not repent of the works of their hands. Therefore, divine judgment follows us into the 21st century. Islam is still bringing judgment upon the church, and the church resents it. After all the holy goodness the missionaries have thrown to the Arab dogs, they still do not convert to Christianity. Instead of repenting of giving that which is holy to the dogs, the sins of race mixing, of interfaith mixing, of tolerance, and loving those who hate the Lord, they blame Islam. And yet, mosques are popping up everywhere in white nations. State-sanctioned churches that snore during wars waged in the name of God bless America are spiritually comatose. More than 1,820 tons of radioactive nuclear waste, that is depleted uranium, were exploded in Iraq alone in the form of armor-piercing rounds and bunker busters. This represents the world's worst man-made ecological disaster ever. 64 kilograms of uranium were used in the Hiroshima bomb. The U.S.-Iraq nuclear holocaust represents far more than 14,000 Hiroshimas. Revelation 9 speaks of prophetic locust rising from the abyss, which is a figure of speech for an invading Islamic army. The focus of today's message is the gathering and scattering, not of Israelites, but Arabs, Africans, and mongrels of the Near East from the cause and effect of wars and rumors of wars. And the fifth angel sounded the trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen to earth from the sky, and he was given the key to the bottomless pit. Revelation 9:1. In the symbolic style of writing what God revealed to John, a star is not literal here, but rather, as the text signifies, someone, he, holding a high position, a leader. No doubt John was familiar with Isaiah's depiction of the king of Tyre in Isaiah 14:12. How art thou fallen from heaven? And identifies this fallen star as a mere man in verse 16. Likewise, John gives us clues as to who this personality in history was. Quote, and he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke ascended from the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air had become darkened from the smoke of the pit. Don't take this literally. The phrase bottomless pit comes from the Greek word abusos, from which we get the word abyss. And it means a desolate wilderness. It has also taken on an unnecessary mystical connotation of an unfathomable and immeasurable depth, so deep into the subterranean cavities of the earth that it is the antithesis of heaven, of God's abode, and is the venue of demons, that is, the Catholic hell, Dante's Inferno. The Catholic priesthood played the fear card one too many times for filthy lucre, that is, the selling of indulgences that gave rise to the Protestant Reformation. Dead people are buried in graves. In the cliche of 6 feet under, and being that they're dead, it wouldn't make any difference to them whether it was 6 feet or 6 miles. The Bible often calls the grave the pit. But for our purposes of understanding prophecy, John was talking about a leader that would come on the scene from a desolate place on the earth and resonate a spirit of darkness. A new religion used as a rod of chastisement against a counterfeit Christianity, the RCC. It helped to create Islam and Islam's founder, Muhammad. Smoke here is the symbol of concealment and obfuscation. A new religion and religious figure preeminent to Christ would arise from the immeasurable desolation of Arabs or Arabia's parched desert lands. What was once Israelite territory and the geography of so many Bible stories would be overtaken by the smoke of Islam, darkening the light of Christ and Christianity in all the lands that came under their control. The star of the show was Muhammad, but the director of the show was God. God has chosen what is insignificant and despised in the world, what is viewed as nothing, to bring to nothing what is viewed as something, so that no mortal may boast before God. In other words, this is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our sight. Or the common refrain, God's in control. Islam rightly condemned the evils of idolatry in the RCC practiced religiously. Islam was rightly monotheistic, whereas the RCC was hopelessly pantheistic. Needless to say, the doctrines of Islam were a necessary scourge to an apostate church. But with a billion followers in the world today, it brings a propensity for further wildfires of smoke that blind and choke the Christian world. One must ask, who would want such a key to bring forth evil and calamitous events? It's not the nature of most white people to be a wild and unbridled beast. At least not directly. But it can certainly be ascribed to mixed blood Arabs or any other mongrel people group that have short-circuited genetics. That's what race mixing does. It voids the racial purity of what God creates. And the violent proceed to take the kingdom by force. Islam is now permeating the earth in a path of destruction. And the Jew is helping every step of the way. For example, 9/11 was perpetrated by Jews, and the Patsies were Arab terrorists. 2 weeks ago, November 13th, there was a coordinated multiple terror attack in Paris, killing 130 and injuring 350 people, in which it has been discovered that the five terrorists were trained in the occupied Golan Heights by the Israeli Mossad. They entered Europe with the massive wave of refugees flowing in unchecked. ISIS was already being assisted by the CIA, as was Al-Qaeda and the late Osama bin Laden. Theater everywhere, right? Then, out of the smoke came locusts upon the earth, and power was given them, as the scorpions of the earth have power. Revelation 9:3. Now, locusts are not literal grasshoppers, but a metaphor of adversaries to Christ and his followers, promoting superstitions, idolatry, and cruelties, promulgating a secret poison and infection of the soul. Their power granted by God is devastating. Perhaps the above verse is alluding to the ancient practice of lighting fires to check the progress of locust swarming. God admits in Joel 2:25 that they are my great army that I sent among you. When conditions are favorable, a swarm of hundreds of millions of locusts may hatch at the same time. And after exhausting the local food supply, they spread out, gobbling up nearly every green plant in their path and leaving desolation and famine behind them. Arabia is renowned as a land of locusts. By the time of his death in 632, Muhammad had united the Arabian Peninsula under Islam. Over the next 100 years, the Muslim tide spread in a raging flood across the earth until the year 732, when they were narrowly defeated of all places at the Battle of Tours in France. This victory saved Western Europe from conversion to Islam. That's how close they got. As verse 4 confirms that these locusts, quote, do not injure the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, except those men who do not have the seal of God. What goes around comes around. You reap what you sow. The trees and the grass represent the covenant-keeping people of God. The Christian nonconformist, racial separatist, and dissident racist. The politically correct state-sanctioned church does not have the seal of God's approval, and locusts will torment mankind like a scorpion. The scorpions of the earth are a reference to the Edomite Jews and other Canaanites who rejected Christ. This is self-explanatory at Luke 10, where God sent out 70 disciples to harvest the souls of men for the kingdom. And when they came back to him, they were overjoyed that devilish adversaries were subject to them through the authority in Christ Jesus. And Jesus said, yeah, I was watching Satan, the collective adversaries. And the Lord likened it to lightning falling from heaven. The same metaphor mentioned earlier of a Luciferian star that had fallen to earth from the sky. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. Amen? But the good news continues with verse 19. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Can you believe it? Aren't you glad this isn't talking about bugs? It can be shown that the Arabs, Arab means mixed, have also in part descended from the Kenites, Canaanites, and Edomites of the Old Testament. The lesson to be learned from all of this history and prophecy is that we shouldn't help the ungodly, that is, racial aliens, with missionaries, political entanglements, and commercial enterprises, or to love those who hate the Lord Jesus Christ. For if we do, it will kindle the wrath of God, and we will be punished by swarms of locust people who will delay the kingdom of God with violence and strange gods. Apostasy is the interruption of the way, the truth, and the life. There is a higher power or authority than Muhammad, than the Pope, and the great Sanhedrin. When we repent of being subservient to the wicked and opposing the commandments of God, we will no longer be bringing judgment upon ourselves. All we have to do really is to do that which is good, and beareth not the sword in vain, but execute wrath upon him who doeth evil. In fact, when the contrived gambit of massive integration swells to the bursting point, we've got something they don't have: the military promises of God. And ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall by the sword, and 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 shall put 10,000 to flight. Your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. However, and this is a big however, this can quickly reverse itself if we do not heed the commandments of God. Quote, 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one. At the rebuke of 5 shall ye flee, till you be left as a lonely flagpole on a hill, or a tattered banner on a distant mountaintop. It's talking about us. We have more than enough Pastor Davy Blackburns who plead to the prophets, you must not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us pleasant words. Prophesy illusions. Believe in lies, and God will send you strong delusions. And we will hear of wars and rumors of wars all the day long on CNN. What the heck is it going to take? A million mongrels pouring across our borders demanding a free lunch? Negroes raging like wild animals? More mongrels on welfare than there are white taxpayers to pay for them? Or Christians getting on their knees and praying for forgiveness for their sins? Not giving forgiveness for people who murder your wife and your unborn. How many more Amanda Blackburns must there be? As many as there are Pastor Davies. I pray that my fellow identity friends are not troubled, because all of this sorry state of affairs must come to pass. How much of a remnant will it take to bring glory? I don't know. The King James says, all of these are the beginning of sorrows. But many other translations render it birth pains. What is being born? I can tell you it ain't born again Judeo-Christians. It's more stars. But prophetically, it's the woman of Revelation 12 crowned with 12 stars. It is the 12 tribes of Israel. And seeing, she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. We're not sorrowful. We are going through the growing pains of maturing in Christ to be the sons of God. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Many believe this to be Christ. But Isaiah 66, 7 and 8 tells us the man-child is a nation. Not only that, it's one that is born in a day. And I've talked about that before. And I believe that nation is America. Born on July 4th, 1776. Itself being of prophetic significance. So in reality, it is the beginning of the overcomers or man-child that will once and for all stop the enemies of God, and thus we will be prepared to meet the Lord in the air. And yes, that's another metaphor for another day. On that positive note, comfort one another with these words that you've heard today. And he delivered us from such deadly peril. And he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. Thank you.